Okay, praise the Lord. This morning we're going to continue our series. It's a four-part series on giving. This today is part two, and it is entitled Giving and Receiving. Now, before I go any farther, it just dawned on me that the timing of this series coinciding with the tearing up the sanctuary and redoing that. Some may have in your mind, oh, he's just talking about giving because of all the expenses that we have and that we're going to have. No, it just happened that way. It was, I had this series on my heart and mind to share at the end of last year, probably starting in November. The Lord started speaking to me about sharing this and then two or three other things that he laid on my heart to share. And I even weighed which one was to come first, and then I felt like this one was to come first, and it just happened that we started deconstruction work on the building about the same time. And as any of you know who were listening to part one, this is not all about money anyway. Money is going to be talked about the farther we get into it, particularly in the next lesson, which is going to be on tithing. And then the fourth one will be on giving beyond tithing. But we're not strictly talking about giving money anyway. It's talking about living a life, and we're talking about living a life, of giving. Of being someone who is like God in the sense that we give and we don't hold on to things. We allow God to flow through us. So with that being said, let's go back and briefly discuss the high points or the bullet points from part one and then get into part two. On part one, which was entitled, Are You a Giver? We said that God is a giver and that God's giving was a result of His love. All of that which we do in the area of giving, whether it's giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving of our finances, giving of our talents, in any area we give out of love for others, either God or to others, but it is not in any sense something that shines a light back on us. It is not intended to illuminate us, but to shine the light of God's love on him or others. But God is a giver. And so therefore we, as his children, who have his character and his nature, should be givers. And it would only be natural for a person to be a giver. Let me quickly turn to Romans. This wasn't in my notes, but the Lord spoke to me as we were singing, and I wanted to share this with you. Romans chapter 1. I'll start in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they, the ungodly, the ones who don't choose to follow the Lord and to surrender to Him, they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. God didn't get the glory because He did not receive thanks from them who should have given it, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto four-footed beast and creeping things. And it goes on from there. The descent into a life lived outside of the will of God is expressed. And it started out because they failed to glorify God and they failed to give unto God that which was due unto Him. And we'll get more into that in a few minutes. But as God's children, we are of His likeness and of His nature, of His kind. We also should be givers. We talked about when not to give, and there's no way I can go through this. I don't want to take up time that is to be spent on part two today. This is only bullet points to bring us into part two. I strongly suggest if you did not hear part one that you go back and hear part one. There's a lot more detail given and scripture verses for almost every statement that we made. When not to give, when it strengthens the hand of the wicked, when it rewards the foolish, and when that which is given is neither valued nor appreciated. Let me just say this, that we didn't say in part one, but it belongs with that, is some people are givers, and they give because they do not understand the value of things. They just let things go. They give away. They buy beer for everybody. They buy drugs for everybody. They're free with what they have. Those people who are free with what they have, not because they understand the value of what they have, they are free with what they have because they don't understand the value. And we don't want to give a person who doesn't understand the value of things something that is precious. Some people give because they don't understand the value of things. God's people should always give because they do understand the value of what they give, but they give it anyway. They give it because this is intended to be a blessing. I know how much this cost. I know how much this is worth. I know what this could do to my family and for my family. I know what I could do with this and how much of a benefit it would be to me. But yet I give it anyway because the heartbeat of God is beating within me. So it's not just freely giving, willy-nilly, throwing your money around to anything and everything. A person who does that does not understand the value of things and is prone to do that. We talked about when to give and when it's right through the Scripture and discernment to do so, and when you have the ability to do it. We talked about where to give, and we give to the Lord directly in praise and worship. We give attention or heed to His Word, to His Holy Spirit speaking to us, and direction given to us through spiritual leadership. We give attention, we give heed to those things. And one day, we will stand before the Lord, whether, and all of us do, in this body anyway, those of us who belong to Him, He brings correction to us in this life if we're not living the way He wants us to live so that we can change our way. But at one day, regardless, one day everybody is going to give an account of himself and the life for the life that they lived on this earth unto the Lord. We also said not only do we give to the Lord directly, but we give to the Lord indirectly. We give as we give our tithes. We give as we give offerings for the work of the church. We give as we give offerings for things belonging to the church building. We give as we bless those who are in spiritual authority. We give as we give offerings to help saints in troubled areas. We give as we give alms or giving to the poor. We give to those with needs within the church and without. We see a need. We see if we can fulfill and minister to that need, and we do what we can. We give love gifts to friends and family, church family, to bless and encourage. It has nothing to do in this case with whether they have a need or not. It is because we have a desire, because the love in our heart to be a blessing to them and to show our heart by doing something. We'll see this more later, but nobody can see what's in your heart but you and God, and sometimes we have a hard time knowing really what's in our heart, but He always sees it. The only way that other people can see what's in our heart is when we express it somehow. And when we live a life of giving, we are expressing the love of God to others in a way that they can see it and then appreciate it and respond to it. We give gifts to strangers. We talked about doing random acts of kindness, just being someplace and doing something. It was amazing. When I was a little kid, the number of times old men sitting outside of a building, the sitting whittlers, they used to sit and talk and spit and whittle. "Come here, boy." I'd walk over. "Yes, sir. You're such a fine young man." And they'd reach in their pocket and give me some money. You know, it's just the number of times I got blessed as a little kid. Now, you got to be careful of that nowadays because you don't know what those old men are thinking. But I'm getting to the age where I'm one of those men. I'm not as old as they were, at least in my mind I'm not. And, you know, I'm getting to the age where I want to do that. You know, just be in a grocery store and see a mom with some children and say, "Would you mind if I did this for them?" I usually try to ask the parent first, but just random acts of kindness, just showing love. This is not tooting my own horn, I'm just giving examples. I was sitting at a restaurant eating before Christmas, and a couple came in and sat down. I don't know if they were a couple or just eating together. They were, I found out later on, both in law enforcement. The guy was dressed so nicely. He had a gun on his hip and a badge hanging off his belt. And I stopped, and he's a young a black guy and a young black woman he was with. And I said, "What department are you with?" And he said what he was. And I said, "Well, I just want to compliment you. You're one of the finest dressed policemen I've ever seen." And he said, "Well, thank you." And they went and got their food. And later on, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Pay for their meal." And I said, "Surely." And so when the waiter came over and brought my check, I said, "Can I have their check as well?" And then he brought me their check, and I paid for their meal and their tip, and didn't say anything to them. I went on and left. But that's just how the Lord moved on me. I don't know if they were good people or bad people. I don't know if whatever. But I was moved by the Holy Spirit to do a random act of kindness. And I believe that later on they were going to think, "Why did that man do that?" He didn't ask for anything in return. I don't even know his name. It's just completely random. I wonder if God made him do that. You know, we don't know what the results will be. We just obey God. Amen? Yeah. Gifts to our enemies as a demonstration of God's goodness and grace. Somebody treating you unkind and you bless them anyway. And then another gift, the Scripture talks about a gift in order to gain favor. Then we talked about how to give. We said we give with our full measure. We also give willingly and cheerfully. And again, I'll read because it just sums it up so well from the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 9:7. "Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving." Next, how to give is in secret. Not making your giving to be about you. Not to make a spectacle of the event, but to make the giving be about the Lord, his love, and his act, and the people that he acts and causes us to give to. Expecting nothing in return. We talked about what to give. We give our time and helping. And again, it's not all about money. We give our time in helping, listening, teaching, training, serving, being a friend, being a husband, being a wife, being a partner. We give our talent. Those unique abilities which express the wonder and greatness of God. You know, I love listening and watching talent programs. Even when people are singing songs that have nothing to do with the Lord, you know, I'm not crazy about some of the songs, but it always amazes me the talent that God blesses people with. Or to see art that someone has done. Someone has taken a gift and a talent that is so obviously given to them by God and created something. I'm in awe of... I like watching somebody do a flip. You know, I can't do it. There are things that each one of us have, talents and abilities that God gave us. And when we give of those talents and abilities, we are expressing that uniqueness of God, that unique ability of God, that awesomeness of God that may be common to us but amazing to other people. And when we do it, and we do it not to bring glory to ourselves but to honor God and to bless others, that's a wonderful thing. And then our treasure, your money, and that which your money can buy. Basically, we end up saying what to give. We give of ourselves. We give us. Whether it be our time, our talent, or our treasure. It's something that God has given us. And so it's within our ability to give it back to Him or to others. We said that withholding is the opposite of giving. God does not withhold that which is good for us, and we should not withhold that which is right to give. What causes people to withhold instead of give? Well, selfishness, a heart that is not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Another thing that causes people to withhold is fear of lack. What if I run out? Well, that comes from a mind that is not new to the Word of God, who doesn't understand that if God could give it to you once, He can give it to you again if you handled it right in between. Y'all understand that? If He ever got it to you once, if you know God to be a supplier once, you know He can do it again and again and again, as long as we're not being unfaithful with what He's given to us. And even if we have, if we come before Him and repent and truly turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, God's a God of second chances. Just because He blessed you with $1 million and you blew it doesn't mean that if you come to Him and repent and lay your life down before Him, that He won't bless you again. How many can say amen to that? Who's ever squandered something that God's given you later on you felt bad about it? I told you the story of when we got back from England and a guy selling fruit came to our house. We'd just gotten back and he had the biggest grapefruit you ever saw, the biggest oranges and apples, and I didn't know the value of a dollar because we'd been over in England. And he had this box of stuff, and I think it was like $35, $45 for this small box of stuff. And boy, that fruit looked so good. And I paid for it and brought it in. And later on, we went to the grocery store and I saw what I could have got it for. I felt so stupid. We didn't have a lot of money. But I threw $35, $40 away on something that wasn't worth it. But I didn't do it on purpose. And I asked God to forgive me. And I asked God to teach me and train me and let me learn the value of the American dollar after being gone for a number of years. And we got over and we got better. And how many of you know that God's blessed since? So just because you messed up doesn't mean that God can't come and fix the things that you messed up in your life. Maybe you're in a whole boatload of debt. God doesn't say, and you come back to Him and repent and say, Lord, I was so silly. I was foolish for what I did. I'm so sorry. God doesn't say, well, you had your chance. No, He said, okay, let's fix this. Let's fix you and let's fix your problem. And how many of you know God's really more interested in fixing you than your problem? Because if He fixes you, you don't have another problem. If He just goes around fixing your problems, you're going to have another problem. But the Lord wants to fix us and He wants to fix our problems. He's gracious. He's merciful. The Lord is always willing to come and get us out of a jam that we put ourselves in if we repent. I know. I've been there. Fear of rejection is another reason it causes people to withhold. My gift is not good enough. What's my little bit to this person over here? It doesn't matter. You know, just walking up to somebody and baking a cupcake, not even a whole cake, just baking a cupcake and bringing it to somebody, and with on the inside of you, you're thinking, what is that to them? It doesn't matter. It's an expression of your heart. If that was your full measure and that cupcake was the best you can do, then praise God, that cupcake is going to be a blessing. You just got to trust that whatever the Lord moves upon you to do, if it's your full measure, then God will bless it. And then unforgiveness and bitterness, the desire to hurt or punish. And we ended part one by asking the question, and all obviously everybody was asked to ask them the question to themselves, not to answer out loud, but are you a giver or are you a withholder? What are you prone to do? And let me just say that it doesn't matter where you are in this. If you're a giver, you can, over time, by letting loose of the principles of God, degenerate into being a withholder. And you can, if you're a withholder, by understanding the principles of God and by letting the Lord teach you and train you and build faith in you, you can become a giver. So you're not stuck wherever you are if you're on the bad side, and you're not eternally secure in this if you're on the good side. Because people who do right things have slipped into wrong behaviors, and people who have done wrong things all their lives have learned to become givers. So when I ask you, and when the Spirit of the Lord is asking, are you a giver? Are you a withholder? He's not saying, is that what you are? Is that what you're always going to be? He's saying, what are you now? Judge yourselves, and what would you like to become? Because my grace is available. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, giving part two. This is giving and receiving. Well, first of all, I'm going to just briefly mention three fundamental truths about giving. First of all, giving is a choice. What did I say? Giving is a what?
Choice.
Giving is a choice. If you are forced to give, you are not giving. It is being taken from you. That's not giving. If someone forces something from you, you're not giving it. They're taking it. But giving is a choice. Secondly, giving is an act of grace. It's something you do for someone else who may or may not deserve that act. You don't do it because someone deserves it, except God. But when we're giving indirectly to others and not directly to God, we don't look and weigh whether they earned the gift. Is it right to give? So, to give? Is the Lord behind this? Is He in it? Is that what He wants me to do? It's an act of grace. And when God gives to us, you haven't earned it. No matter how good you do, you have not earned it. It's an act of God's grace. All of us deserve hell. All of us deserve torture and torment because of our selfishness and because of who we were before Christ. We don't receive the blessings of God because we earn those. We receive them by grace, and we receive things by grace through faith. And thirdly, giving is part of a cycle. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. If we take out the other things that are important to be said, but just restructure this sentence to highlight on this point, we could say, you, Philippians, communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. You were in touch with me and in relationship with me concerning giving and receiving. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, Jesus, when he was sending the disciples out, he told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, for freely ye have received, freely give. How is it that they were able to freely give? Because they had freely received. If you have not received, you're not in a position to give. We talked about that briefly earlier, about giving according to our ability. If we're not in a place where we have received, then we cannot give, or we can only give what we have received. So giving and receiving are a part of a cycle, which I'll demonstrate in a minute with a presentation. But here's where I need the children's help. I need one person, one of you darling little children, who understands the value of money, knows what a nickel is, and a penny is, and a dime is, and a quarter. Joseph, why don't you come up? I kind of trust that you do know this. Okay. Joseph, you got any money in your pockets right now? Nothing at all? Okay. Let's pretend, and I'm a long way from this, but let's pretend I'm God for a minute, okay? And you are one of my dear beloved children that I gave my son Jesus for, and we're in relationship. I'm the Father God, and I love you, and you love me, and you want to obey me. Joseph, would you mind giving William there, would you mind giving him a quarter? No. Could you do that for me?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Huh?
I don't have any though.
Oh, yeah. Well, how can you give it to him?
Because God can give me anything.
Well done, well done, well done. Okay, first of all, I'll tell you what. I am going to bless you with a dollar. Okay? Because you're my child, I love you, and you didn't earn it. Did you work for that?
No.
Did you mow my yard?
Nope.
Did you pick up my trash?
Nope.
Did you polish my shoes? You didn't do anything to earn it, did you?
No.
Okay, but I love you, and I'm going to give you that because I got everyone's ever been made belongs to me. Okay?
Okay.
So that's nothing. I got a bunch. Okay, so I'm going to give you a dollar, and then you're able to give him a quarter. Wait a minute, you need change, though. See, I can even do that. Let me go back here, and let's start off with something easy, okay? I'll keep the dollar for a minute. Cause I'm gonna make change, but right now I'm just gonna give you that.
Okay.
Okay. I gave you something, right?
Yeah.
Is love flowing here? I gave you something. Can you take that and go give him a nickel?
No, because I don't have nothing.
What do you got?
A penny.
Oh, you got a penny. So you need more.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I gave you a nickel, now you got a nickel and a penny, and if I ask you to go give him the nickel, you could do it now.
Yeah.
But that just leaves you with a penny.
Yeah.
You kind of got a raw deal there, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's not fair of me to do that.
No. But you're not. But
so if I do that, do you think I'm able, then, after you obey me, do you think I'm able to do more?
Yeah.
So you're not worried about giving that nickel to him?
No.
Okay, go ahead and do it. Now, he got a nickel, and you're left with just a penny.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're not worried. Because I told you before, I got tons of it. I'm loaded.
Yeah.
So if you trust me, then you know that if I could come up with one nickel, I could sure come up with another one, couldn't I? You know what? I don't have one. But I got a dime. Will that work?
Yeah.
You know what? I got another dime. And I'll tell you what. Here's a dollar I promised you, too.
Okay.
Now, are we good?
You gave me more than I actually asked for.
That's just kind of like me. I do things like that. You go sit down. Thank you for being obedient when I ask you to do something. Oh, wait a minute. That young guy right there, is that William?
Yeah.
I tell you what, give him that dollar I gave you. Now, it didn't bother you that you gave that dollar away, did it? Why is that? Well, come back here. You know, I like your faith. You don't have to withhold and stick it in your pocket and pretend like you don't have it, do you?
No,
because I got another one. Thank you. Go sit down. Thank you for... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Remember, we're in a relationship, and I've taught you before that you need to tithe. So I tell you what, since you just got the dollar there, why don't you go ahead and take that? That'll cover your tithe. Why don't you go put that in the offering plate? Now, you could keep it. I gave it to you. You could keep it, pretend like it's yours. Why? Why? I gave it to you, and what? I got more! Right? Okay, go put that in the offering plate. Alright, put up the... if you would, Jason, put up the green. Okay, we're going to talk about what just kind of transpired here. And I do have one more dollar. We'll see what happens. Okay, the little M-E in there, that's me. M-E, that's the name I call myself. That's us, that's you, okay? You're in the center of this cycle, which is, I'm going this way, and it goes that way actually. The giving and receiving cycle. As we take the example of Joseph, and Joseph, you did a great job, thank you. In order for us to give, we first have to have something to give. We have to be on the receiving end. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I think the receiving always comes first. God always loves us and gives to us first. Okay, this is what happens here. In this cycle, we receive and then we're in a position to give. If we give, we're in a position to receive. If we receive, we're in a position to give. That's the cycle. Does God want to ever stop that cycle? Is it in His best interest to stop the cycle? No. It's in the devil's best interest to stop the cycle, but it's not in God's best interest. And others, you know, they get blessed by this cycle. I'll explain that in a minute, but first of all, our first response, as we're in this giving and receiving cycle, we give back to God. What do we give back to God? Well, if He blesses us with an ability, we give that ability to Him. We use it for His glory. Amen? If you can sing, develop it. Use it for His glory. If you can play an instrument, develop it. Use it for His glory. Don't withhold it. Don't sit on it. That's not part of the cycle. Anything that you have that God has blessed you with that you can find a way of giving and giving glory to God for it, give it to God. Because He's going to give back. One of the things that goes to God also is our thanks. Our appreciation. When we're in this cycle, thanks always goes to the one who gives to us. When God gives this way, thanks goes back that way. Praise and thanksgiving goes back to God. Well, we receive from God, and because we've received, we have the ability to give to others. Not only that, but I don't have the line to it, but God often uses others to give to us. And when others give to us, what goes back to them? Thanks. Whoever gives to you, your response to them is thanks. So this cycle of giving and receiving, which we are in the middle of, is operated by God, who's the source of all things. He has all the money in the world, the cattle on a thousand hills, and all the gold and oil under it. God gives to us, we give thanks to God, we do what we need to do with it, and then when there's an opportunity to bless others, we bless others. And then sometimes God will use others to bless us, and then we just keep the cycle going. Does everybody understand that? Sorry. That probably came out real well on the tape. Okay, go to the second slide. Now, what did we say was the opposite of giving?
Withholding.
Now, this is scriptural. This will answer a lot of problems in your life if you just listen. What does the scripture say that withholding leads to?
Lack.
Withholding leads to lack. And then lack, when you don't have enough, and you're in a position where that is foremost in your thought process, and fear gets in there, what does lack tend to lead to? More withholding. So we're in this cycle. When withholding instead of giving is what we do, then it produces lack in our life, and that lack tends to shut off others, and it shuts off God. How many of you are very thankful for the lack in your life? And you're constantly giving praise to God for lack. If you say you do it, explain that to me later. I don't know too many people who do. What happens is when we have lack, we start to blame God. God, why aren't you blessing me? And He said, why aren't you giving? Why are you withholding? You are shutting off my ability to bless you by your withholding. You're cutting me out of the picture. I told you how my system worked. My system works where if you give, you shall receive. If you withhold, you're going to experience lack. So we're not going to be getting much from God. We're not going to be getting much from others. Our life of thanksgiving and joy is going to be cut off. We're not happy with God. We're not pleased with God. We're upset with Him. He should have done this. He should have done that. He was late here. I prayed here. And the Lord says, there's a reason why you're here. And giving is not the reason. Giving will never get you here. Giving will get you to the area of receiving. God has a plan. If we think we're going to operate outside that plan. Now, we're using money because money's so easy to see. But that's the same thing with friendship. You start withholding love and friendship to others. Guess what everybody starts doing back to you? What's wrong with so-and-so? Why are they acting like a weirdo? Why are they acting like a sourpuss, sour face? You know, why does everything I say to them fall on, you know, a cold, stony heart and deaf ears? I'll leave him alone. Lack is what you get back. You shut it off. They didn't. You did. What about in the area of people spending time with you? I mean, this goes on and on. Everything you can think of. In any area of giving, this principle works. Both ways. Whether it's giving or whether it's withholding. It'll work. Now, how do you get from a place of lack because of withholding? How do you get out of that cycle into the other cycle? First of all, you got to determine which cycle you want to live in. And you got to be committed to the principles of that cycle. You can't try giving over a weekend after living a life of withholding and expect everything to turn out good for you and better for you. Every now and then, God, through His grace and through His mercy, He will come, and if somebody gives something one day, they get a blessing the next day beyond their wildest imagination. I'm going to be thankful. We got a building. It's a noisy building. I'm going to be thankful we have a building. I'm going to be thankful that it's not raining on us in here. I'm going to be thankful that it's not freezing cold in here. I'm going to be thankful that all the children are going to grow up and be outstanding individuals. And I'll be thankful that we love them today, even where they are, right? Okay. How do we get from this, from the withholding cycle to this cycle? Is we begin to operate in the principles of it. And we begin with the intent to stay with it until it operates. As you know, there's some distance between each thing. Now, sometimes God can miraculously move and shorten the distance, but I would say sometimes it could take weeks, months, years. You have to be committed to the principle of it because it's right. Because one of the things that will happen is you start to do something because the preacher said to do it. The preacher is talking about giving, and so I'm just going to do what he says. Well, brothers and sisters, I do not have the power to bless you. I do not have the power to make God's Word work for you. You have to hear what the preacher is saying, but know that it's the voice of God that's saying it, and you're being obedient to God. And you have to be committed to God's principle, and you have to look to Him and pray to Him. Not come back to me a week later and say, I tried that nonsense you told me, and it didn't work. Don't try my nonsense. Try God's unchanging, unfailing Word. Amen? I can't back it up, but He can. Years ago, when Susan and I were first saved, I was a selfish young man, very, very, very selfish. And we got married, and an older couple in the church, they were young, but they were older than us. And had been Christians longer and had understood the principle of giving and receiving longer. And I said many times that I didn't have the privilege of having a mentor in my life, that I wish that I would have had someone older, wiser. That's true concerning having a mentor long term. I have had on a couple of occasions, not very often, but on a couple of occasions, somebody speak into my life with the wisdom of God who was very helpful. And that's how God intends for it to be. It just should have happened on a more frequent and regular basis. But this couple called Susan and me over to their house. We sat down. We had dinner with them. And after dinner, they said, we wanted to talk to you about something. We want to talk to you about this principle of giving and receiving. And then they began to outline this thing of giving and receiving and how God works. And I guess they had seen through my selfish life, because I used to go to their house before Susan and I got married and spend the afternoon there. And I never offered to help with the dishes. I never offered to replace anything that I ate. And I ate them out of house and home when I was there. I was just all concerned with me. I would go eat, go lay down on their couch, put on the headphones and listen to music while the lady of the house went around cleaning up my mess. And then Susan inherited me shortly after that, and she had to deal with it. But I'd already demonstrated to everybody what I was like. And so I'm sure they called us over, not because of what they saw in Susan, but because of what they saw in me. And they began to explain God's giving. They talked about tithing. They talked about offerings. They talked in a little short period about many of the things I'm going to be talking to you over this four-part series. It was just very condensed. And they ended up by saying, we want you to be blessed. We want you to have the things that God wants you to have. We want to see you begin to give. And we are going to demonstrate to you how that works we are going to give to you. And they overstressed the word give every time they said it. We're going to give to you something. Was it a bed they gave to us? I can't remember either. I think it was a bed. And they said that they wanted to give it to us, that it was fairly new. They just got it, but God moved upon them to give it to us. And they wanted us to see how God's kingdom operated, and they wanted us to be blessed, and they wanted us to begin to think about how we could be a blessing to others. Now, after we left that night, we went back, and all I remember is me making fun of the way they say give, how they stress give all the time. But in my youthful ignorance, and I did receive the lesson, at least the seed of it, and it began to, the Word of God began to work in me. And but one of the things I said to them at the time, when they said, we're going to give it to you, and I said, oh no. I said, I can't take that. Why can't you take it? You do need a bed, don't you? And let's assume I'm speaking the truth about the bed. You do need a bed, don't you? Oh, yes, well, we do. Well, why won't you take it? I was always brought up never to accept charity. That's what you do when you're dumb, hillbilly, and taught wrong. You say, I don't accept charity, and you do your head like that. And I said, no, it's not charity in the sense of giving to someone because they're poor. And even that's not wrong. We're giving this to you because we love you. And your response is not to say, no, I can't take it, but to say thank you very much and receive it with joy. I said, and they said, that's God's system. You are a Christian now, aren't you? And I said, well, yeah, not very long, but I am. And they said, well, we want you to receive it, and we want you to receive it with joy, and we want you to be happy with it, and it's not like you've been brought up to think. This is how God's kingdom operates. But that was my first response. Brothers and sisters, receiving is part of the cycle. If we're not, we have to be committed to both. To giving when God says give, and receiving what God has to give us. So, first of all, like we did in the area of giving, we want to say with receiving, what not to receive. Well, we don't receive, and I'm not going to give you the scripture references today. I'm going to try to motor through this. There are scripture references for everything that I'm sharing with you. There's nothing that's just pulled out of the air. It is the Bible talking. But in order to get through it, I want you to just hear the points. What not to receive. We don't receive the spirit of the world. Their attitudes, their thought patterns, their values, the paradigms. God says not to receive that. We're not to receive the Spirit again under bondage. Not the Holy Spirit, but the spirit of this world and the enemy. We're not to receive an accusation that's made against an elder. An unfounded accusation against an elder. We're not to receive that. We're not to receive another gospel. We're not to receive those who bring false doctrines. We're not even to say, have a nice day. We're not to receive the mark of the beast. Okay, what are we to receive? Once again, I'm going to motor through this. What to receive? We're to receive Jesus. We're to receive the Word of God. We are to receive the Holy Ghost in power. We're to receive God's messenger. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 says, if whosoever receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We're to receive those who God sends to us. We're to receive wisdom. We're to receive instruction, correction, forgiveness, blessing. Psalm chapter 24, 3 through 5 says, in paraphrase, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart shall receive blessing from the Lord. The Lord wants to bless us. He wants us to receive that. We're to receive what we believe God for, what we ask for in Jesus' name. We're to receive healing. We're to receive our reward. We're to receive the kingdom of God and all that it stands for and His rule in our lives. We're to receive whatever comes from the hand of God. I wished I had time to go into that in more detail, but if we're going to receive blessing every time God brings it, and we're going to jump for joy, then what happens when God says, okay, now it's time for correction? Brothers and sisters, when God's bringing it, you got to receive it and receive it with thanksgiving just as much as any blessing, because it's for our good. Amen?
Amen.
We're to receive the one who is recommended. A minister sent from another area, who someone we're in relationship, like Paul Randerson, sends someone over here to be a help to us. We're to receive them because they have been recommended by someone we know and love. We're to receive one another, and we're to receive one who is weak in the faith. How to receive? We receive by faith. We receive freely. Remember, freely you have received, freely give. This was a hard one for me. Later on, this is another bed story. This one for sure is a bed. When we got to Texas and we had to leave stuff behind in England, we moved back to Texas. We found a house we were living in. Susan and I were living on sleeping on a pallet on the floor. Everybody from Texas, I don't need to explain what a pallet is. You Yankees, look it up. We were sleeping on a pallet on the floor. Not a wooden pallet, it's blankets on the ground. And I must have said something one day at church and about, man, I got a kink in my back. And the pastor's father, who everybody, all the children called him Papaw, and they called his wife Meemaw, and Papaw, can I have some candy? That's what everybody said to Papaw. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he said, well, how old's your bed? I said, well, we hadn't got a bed, because he's thinking our bed was kind of out of date or something. I said, we hadn't got a bed. He said, you ain't got a bed? I said, we sleep on the floor. I said, that's all right. It's comfortable. He said, you need a bed? I said, no, I don't. He said, you go buy your wife a bed. She needs a bed, whether you need it or not. I said, well, when we get the money in, we'll get one. Don't, you know, I'll take care of her. And he said, called his wife over. He said, Alice, give him a check. She said, what for? He said, don't matter, just give him one. And he said, we're going to buy them a bed. She signed it, left the rest of it blank, and gave it to me. He said, you go out and buy a bed. I said, it's blank. How much do I spend? He said, as much as you want. I said, I need to know how much I can spend. Beds are, you know, anywhere from cheap to expensive. He said, we'll get you an expensive one. He said, whatever it is, make sure you're comfortable on it. I said, Harold, I can't do that. I cannot take a blank check. I may spend more than what you want. He said, I gave you a blank check. You put on there whatever you want. I don't care how expensive it is. He told me that about 20 times. Finally, I said, okay. I had a hard time with that, receiving freely. But he demonstrated his heart to me over and over and over again. I had nothing to argue with. We need to be willing to receive freely when God brings blessing to us. We're to receive with gratitude and thanksgiving. We are to have thanks unto God. Can you bring the presentation back up, the green one? And thanks to the channel that He used, if He used someone else. Remember, we said that when God gives, our response is thanksgiving. When others are used by God to give, our response to them is thanks. Susan and I had a wrong idea of things. We did it for the right reasons, but we were so thankful for what God had done for us that when people would give to us, and we never went around asking for things, but people would just be moved by God to give us things. One day we may write a book, I'll slow down long enough. It's miraculous what God has done in our lives and how He's provided and supplied. But when people would be used of God to give to us, the first thing we would do is say, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We've been praying for this. Thank you, Lord. And we'd walk away, and the person that God used never got thanked. We didn't mean to leave them out. We were just so thankful to God because He's the one we were praying to, and we know it ultimately came from Him. But brothers and sisters, when things come through others, others are involved. They deserve our sincere gratitude and thanks. Our heartfelt thanks. Does everybody see that? Sure, God gave it. Sure, God moved upon somebody. But somebody had to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." You know, it's not thanks thinking. It's not true thanks unless it's given. Being unthankful destroys the giving and receiving cycle. Any of these places that we're in the good cycle, we got to keep every aspect of it going, otherwise it will deteriorate into the withholding. Because if we are not giving, what are we doing?
Holding.
Always. What if we are withholding just here? We're not giving thanks to God. If we're not giving it, we're withholding it because it's due unto Him. So we are withholding it. It begins to corrupt the whole cycle. What if with others, God uses them to give unto us, and we what's due unto them is thanksgiving, and we fail to give it? Then we are over here in the area of withholding. If we don't give, we are withholding. And we are moving towards corrupting this cycle and bringing it into this one. How do we move out of this one? We begin to do the things that we're supposed to do. It moves into this one. What brings it over into the bad one? We stop doing the things that we're supposed to do. Being unthankful destroys the giving and receiving cycle. Not giving thanks is withholding that moves you into the cycle, and that moves you into the cycle which produces lack. Look at some other indications that you are truly thankful. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him." When we are truly thankful and giving thanks, when we are returning to God that which is due unto Him, the peace of God rules in our hearts. If you don't have peace today, check and see, are you thankful? There's a direct correlation between your lack of thanks and your lack of peace. And which you're called into one body. If you're not in true fellowship with the body, and if there's problems in the body, then check and see if you're not being thankful somewhere. Because when you're being thankful, peace in the body is easy to have. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Is the word of Christ dwelling in you? Teaching and admonishing one another. Dealing with one another. Teaching one another. Communicating with one another the good things of God. That happens when there's an environment of thanksgiving. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That happens when you have a heart of thanksgiving, when you're a thankful person, when you're expressing your thanks. One of the things that's always blessed me with Susan from the time we got married is the fact that she sings all the time. Now, usually it's in the other room when I'm not in there. And it's usually just not in front of everybody. It's when she's by herself. But she starts singing all the time, singing. And I think, yeah, she's okay. Anytime I can hear her singing, she's okay. She's doing good. When there's no singing and there's a long period where that's not happening, I start to think, is something bothering her?
Is she worried about something? Is she in a place where she's being attacked? She's not often there because 90% of the time she's singing. Brothers and sisters, there's joy. There's thanksgiving that's expressed. And how can she do that? She knows she's living in that cycle. God is good to her. Ask her. Does God answer your prayers? Ask her. Well, sometimes He does, sometimes... No, she doesn't say that. God always hears me. He always answers my prayers. God's good to me. As a result of that, the singing comes, the happiness, the joy, the thanksgiving. It's there. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Thanksgiving is such a vital part of this cycle. It's not the two big ones, giving and receiving, but it's an outflow of that. And if we are in that cycle, one of the outflows is going to be a heart of thanksgiving that's expressed and a willingness to give back to God and to others. And that's the last point I was going to make, is with a desire to give. You know, the Scripture says that we should work with our hands in order that we may have that to give to others. How about being in faith so that we have to give? How about being in the giving and receiving cycle so we have that in order to give? It's not enough where we think, well, I've got my needs met. I'm okay. I'm taken care of. It doesn't matter if I waste. It doesn't matter if I don't get much in, because I got enough. We're not here just for us. We're here to see the kingdom of God extended. We're here to see others being blessed. And part of our cry should be, God, don't just bless me. Bless me enough where I can be a blessing to others. Bless me where I can be a blessing to others, where I have time to bless others with my time, where I have money to bless others with my money, where I have love to bless others with my love. There's a surplus of at least a little that we can give to put it back into the cycle of giving. And lastly, the last point is, what causes people not to receive? Well, first of all, false humility or pride. I don't deserve to be in this position. I don't know why I'm being without right now. I don't know why I'm in this terrible position. I don't know why people aren't being kind to me. I don't know why people aren't being loving to me. I don't know why there's not enough money coming in. But I don't deserve this. You're not in a place of being thankful with those kind of thoughts. You're in a place of being unthankful. You're blaming others. Others are getting it. God's getting it. Not the blessing, but they're getting the brunt of your frustration. What will that bring you to? Lack. False humility expressed another way, that's feeling unworthy. I don't deserve the gift. What did I do to deserve that? Don't give that to me. I'm just a nothing. I'm just a nobody. I don't deserve anything. Wrong teaching. Well, I don't accept charity. My daddy is like that. My daddy's daddy like that. My daddy's daddy daddy was like that. We've all been like that. We don't accept charity. That's pride. And then lastly, lack of faith. Well, I know God will do it for others. And I know I've seen Him do it for others. But He just won't do it for me. He'll bless everybody. He'll bless the guy right next to me. Won't bless me. If it was raining, the farm right next to mine get soaking wet and mine be dry as a bone. Or if it's raining, my place would get flooded out and all my crops would be washed away and the other guy just get enough. He'd be blessed. Lack of faith. I'm going to end this one today with a question also. Are you able to receive with gratitude and thanksgiving?
Are you able to give from that which God gives you freely? Freely you have been given to, freely you've received, freely give. Are you able to give freely? Are you able to receive freely? Are you able to see the cycle of giving and receiving be perpetuated in your life? This cycle is never meant to stop. We hit all corners. It's like a home run. We go sit on the bench. That's not how it works. You don't run around the bases once. You just keep running around the bases. You just stay in the cycle. Let the cycle keep going. Anytime you see anything not working in the cycle, get it right, get it fixed, because it leads to the other one. Get back over in the cycle of giving and receiving. Let all aspects of it work. And God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you could ask or think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing that it's been to us. Lord, we are a people who choose to be thankful and see the things that are blessings in our life. Lord, we're not the half-empty kind of folks. Lord, we're the half-full and getting fuller. We're not the quarter-full about to go out, Lord. We're just candidates for a huge blessing. Lord, we want to see things the way you see them. And we want to be the people who you can trust to be able to give to others because we have received from you. And we demonstrate that we don't withhold any good thing just like you don't, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.